Hi, welcome to Trains, Trails, and Troubadours. This is Gigi Love, and I'm so excited today because we are meeting with the NPCA Southwest Regional Director, David Nimkin, and we're going to find out more about what NPCA stands for and what NPCA is doing right now in this crucial time when our national parks and national monuments are being threatened by the Trump administration to rescind or shrink these monuments altogether. Hi, David, how are you?
Fine, Gigi, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me here. I'm really glad we could talk about this right now because this issue was something I don't think we thought we would have to deal with.
Absolutely, I mean, the authority that a president has to create national monuments goes back to 1906 and President Teddy Roosevelt. And it's been used very effectively. In fact, most of our national parks, four of the five national parks, for example, in Utah, were originally established by presidential proclamations with antiquities. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that there's even consideration that these advancements in protecting these remarkable places all over the country are at risk is astounding.
Yes, it is. As the National Parks Conservation Association assesses the situation, what do you think is the most important thing that people can do right now to understand what is at stake?
Well, I think people don't often recognize, sometimes we take these protected places, national parks and national monuments, for granted. And I think there is And that's I think, not uncommon in many respects with a lot of things in our country. We've taken a lot of things for granted, and we've not exercised the power and influence we have as citizens to influence things that matter. And I think more than ever right now, there is a need for people to engage in the political process, in the democratic process, small d. We are the people. We can make our voice heard. It does make a difference. And I think as people can express and engage in things they care about, and it may be about public lands and national parks and national monuments, it may be about health care, it may be, about some neighborhood issues that are affected by federal decisions, but people need to take a stand and they need to engage.
You know, I've been more activated than ever, especially becoming the Trails and Rails Troubadour and realizing that I need to learn as much as I can about our public lands, our parks, environmental issues that are arising. One of the things I feel that connects to these public lands issues and these monuments is the underlying fear that that people want to privately own this land and they want to frack it, they want to mine it, they want to extract the minerals from it. Is this a valid fear?
That people have?
That they want to rescind these places and take away these places to do that.
It is very real. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is a challenge. So in this state of Utah, where we are right now, Utah is the only state that has had both the legislature and the governor sign a bill that's now official law in the state of Utah that they want to reclaim all the federal lands in the state of Utah for our own use. About 69% of the entire land mass in the state of Utah is owned by the federal government.
And always has been.
Well, in fact, that was part of the deal. When Utah became a state in 1896, there was the law, the proclamation, that stipulated that now and forever henceforth, the state of Utah would renounce any claims they would have to the federal lands that had existed. In fact, when the Mormon pioneers came to the state, which was then part of Mexico, I should say, and they created the territory of Deseret. This was land that wasn't even part of the United States. It would had been inhabited by indigenous Native American peoples. And so there was no such thing as federal land. And ultimately, the state petitioned the U.S. Congress to become a state, and they acknowledged that this was part of the deal.
So they acknowledged the boundaries of the state and said, with this statehood, you will give all these lands that aren't already privately owned.
It wasn't giving it. It was, this is how it is.
You're part of the United States, right. And this state, Utah, is owned by the federal government.
And so at that point in time, the state really had renounced any claims to these lands. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the legal argument and legal test, despite the legislation that mm-hmm. was passed at the state level. And the efforts the state's considering to sue the federal government to reclaim these lands. Now, at the same time, and you're representing this, the President of the United States has the authority since 1906 to create national monuments. That was something that Teddy Roosevelt did. It's what was utilized to create the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. And dozens of other public lands that were worthy of protection. The basis for that is sometimes landscapes are threatened, and the responsibility ultimately to create a national park is vested with the U.S. Congress. But oftentimes the political process and the wheels of lawmaking are slow, the threats are real, and at the time Teddy Roosevelt recognized that there were artifacts, antiquities that were being disturbed, destroyed, removed, and sold, mm-hmm. and that they needed protections. Mm-hmm. And so this Antiquities Act has been used by every president since then to protect landscapes. And, mm-hmm. and what we're finding right now in this present administration is that there are moves, particularly led by the Utah delegation, but supported by many others, to actually rescind the most recently proclaimed monument in Utah, Bears Ears, but also looking back 20 years at Grand Staircase Escalante, and every monument between 1996 and 2016 that's been created that's over 100,000 acres in size is being reviewed and considered for either being rescinded or reduced in size.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a real threat to our parks, our monuments, and our public lands. And I would like to kind of ask you, what is National Parks Conservation Association's main focus with this issue, our monuments right now?
Sure. Well, let me just start by saying National Parks Conservation Association is a nonprofit membership organization. We're not the National Park Service, we're not the National Park Foundation. We were created by the first director of the National Park Service, who had been an advocate for creating parks. And he knew that the sustainability and protection of parks, creating new parks, required citizen engagement. And as he knew, as a new federal employee, he would not be able to continue that advocacy. So we helped create this organization that for now almost 100 years, it was created in 1919, has been working as the voice of citizens to protect these places, mm-hmm. to create new ones, and to advocate for the public to be engaged in protecting these lands. You know, we sometimes think, and I am often asked, that National Parks Conservation Association, well, so aren't you guys a little bit redundant? Aren't they already protected? And the fact is that the parks are not. The Park Service does an extraordinary job. They work diligently to both protect the landscape and help people enjoy them and experiencing mm-hmm. them, but they're limited in mm-hmm. terms of what they can do, particularly with things outside the boundaries. So you think about clean air, you think about water quantity and quality, the water, the Colorado River, for example, 39% of the entire boundary of the Colorado River runs through national parks. Mm. And so we work to build the political will for many of the issues that affect our parks, and specifically, as you relate, at this time with oil and gas development, and particularly around the boundaries of our parks, we need to find some protections. And so our interest in wanting to support Bears Ears and being involved in the designation of this place as a monument is one to support the indigenous people, the five tribes who together came and made a proposal to the Obama administration that the protection of this land would sort of justify what the purpose of the Antiquities Act is in the first place.
What five tribes did come together, the intertribal coalition,
well,
right?
First, it was a group called Dene Bekea, and that's a Navajo group, mm-hmm. That worked with elders to identify a landscape that was in San Juan County, in the southeastern part of the county in Utah, that from their perspective needed protections. But many of the artifacts are not necessarily related to the Navajo. In fact, the ancestral Pueblans and the representatives of the Pueblo tribes were also interested in this, as well as the Utes, mm-hmm. the Mountain Utes, and the Zuni. Mm-hmm. And those five tribes took the proposal that was originally prepared by the Dene Bekea and began a process to promote that at the highest levels of government. They invited our participation, for example, to say, you know, this is our proposal. It's not you to say you want this protected, but we're making it, we would like your help and the advocacy you can offer. And they did that for many other conservation organizations
joined together. They came forward first. It was the tribes
Came forward. Uh-huh. And so our interest, in part, we're interested in large landscapes and protections, but for decades, our organization has been advocating for what we call the completion of canyonlands. That means that for many of your listeners, they may not have been to Canyonlands, but it's an extraordinary landscape. And if you look at the large view overlooking Canyonlands National Park, a good deal of what you see below the rim is not in the park. Mm-hmm. And so the original idea that it be the entire erosional basin of this extraordinary landscape should be protected, mm-hmm. Was part of what's motivated our work. What's within the Bears Ears, a substantial part of Bears Ears, is that completion of Canyonlands. Mm-hmm. And we recognize that what happens outside the boundaries of Canyonlands, which is now in Bears Ears, is critically important for that protection. But I want to underscore how important we recognize the cultural dynamic of Bears Ears is to the Native Americans, to their culture, to their creation stories, and how sacred it is, and this would only validate how much that's valued to sustain this as it had been created by the President of the United States.
Yes, and it's a monumental achievement to actually have the tribes be a part of the designation of a national monument, and then they will also be part of the management of the monument, right?
It's a really big deal. So it is federal land, it's many layers. You have National Park Service, you have Bureau of Land Management, you have Forest Service. The ability to assure those three agencies of the federal government that are going to be involved in the and have management duties within the area, that it fits within the context of the proclamation that it's tribal lands that are, you know, tribal sacred sites that mm-hmm. need to be protected, and access that's validated will be assured through what's called a Bears Ears Commission mm-hmm. that is populated by those five tribes. And I want to underscore that all five tribes, their tribal governments, their leaders, have all endorsed this. And
wow.
It's actually unusual because these tribes have not historically all gotten together. Mm-hmm. Some of your listeners might know that Navajo and Hopi have ongoing conflict, but this is fundamental to their very being.
And a lot of the issues that have been arising with Standing Rock and Bears Ears in a beautiful way has brought the tribes together on so many levels. And they're finding their power. And I think it's important for this presidency, this administration, to acknowledge, because we saw how quickly this administration has tried to squash out the Standing Rock Dakota Access Pipeline, and without any regard to the Native American people that want to protect their water. So by trying to rescind Bear's Ears would be a punch in the gut, to say the least, that he does not care one iota about our indigenous roots here in the West.
I absolutely, very well said. And, you know, it's interesting, we're speaking today on the 4th of May. This weekend, Secretary of Interior Zinke is coming to Utah, as directed by President Trump, to, quote, evaluate whether rescinding the monument, shrinking the monument, would be appropriate. The public is not intimately involved in this. There's no public meetings that, as of today, three days before he's arriving, that they know where he'll be, what he'll be doing. People of all stripes are organizing. There's a huge rally up at the Utah State Capitol this Saturday.
Yep,
and I know you'll be there, Gigi.
I'll be at the rally, and we will have footage from the rally. We'll have audio. I'll be talking to some people there, and we'll get a chance to hear how the people of Utah feel about this. Because NPCA is a national organization, if someone in Michigan is listening to this, or Florida, or some tribes in Pennsylvania, how can they help us to move forward in these protections and get involved with NPCA?
Well, we are a national organization. We have 11 regional offices around the country. We have 1.2 million members around the country. And we strongly encourage our members to have their voice heard. We represent our members in advancing the protections of our parks, of our public lands. And on our website, which is simply npca.org, the issues that we're looking to have people engage in, particularly antiquities designation, and Bear's Ears in particular, people can find out how they can invest themselves. We'd encourage people to become members, but most importantly, at every level, and particularly now, we want all citizens to be engaged in whatever their passions are, because it's important, it's critical, and I think the very foundation of our country is at stake.
I think so too. David, it's been such an honor to talk to you. You clearly have dedicated your life to this organization and to the beauty and protection of our parks, our monuments. It's such an honor to sit across from you and just feel like you're solid, and you know that we've got this. But I can tell, because of what's at stake right now, we need America. We need people who visit our national parks and monuments from other countries. We need people to stand up for this and say, yes, we want these protected. So please check out npca.org and read about the issues for yourself. It's really clear there, and also the legal issues behind the Antiquities Act and how truly President Trump does not have the power to rescind or shrink these national monuments. This is posturing, and we need people to know that this is not in his jurisdiction at all. And my name is Gigi Love, and thanks for joining us here on Trains, Trails, and Troubadours. And we'll be back with people from the rally for Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante, and we'll be hearing from them soon. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Trains, Trails, and Troubadours, hosted by Gigi Love. This program is made possible by underwriters and listeners like you. For information on our underwriting and listening member programs, please visit our website at indieairradio.com. That's IndieAirRadio.com. Podcasts of the show are publicly available at the Indie Air Radio website. Listen to Trains, Trails, and Troubadours every Tuesday here on Indie Air Radio.